Okay, a short session on 2 Samuel. Be kind is the way that I try to depict this book. David shows kindness of all the traits he needs. Kindness is definitely needed in our world, doesn't he? Isn't it needed? So how does God model kindness to us so that we can be kind to others? You see in this book, it's all in the background of 1 Samuel, of these transitions from Eli to Samuel, from Samuel to Saul, and then from Saul to David. Then the question is, well, will David act like Saul? How will David respond when he gets that kind of power like Saul had? And, God is being very kind to David in 2 Samuel. Well, 1 Samuel as well. But how will David respond? If the Lord's kind to him, will David be kind to others? That question is sort of raised. The last chapter of 1 Samuel, Saul dies. So we get into 2 Samuel. What's the first thing David's going to do? Is he going to honor Saul? Is he going to kill off Saul's family? What's David actually going to do? It turns out that David actually, the runner who comes in 2 Samuel 1, the runner who comes to David to say, "Yes, I was one who killed Saul," he doesn't quite catch David's heart. He thinks he's going to be rewarded. David says, "Kill him. He's not the kind of guy we need in our kingdom." Because it is interesting, David had the insight to realize if he was going to have that kind of attitude, so easily kill the Lord's anointed, he would easily kill David too, right? Sometimes we don't really think about these things. But God's kindness gives us leaders. That's one of the evidences of God's kindness to you. Have you had good leaders who've modeled Jesus before you? My bet is that every one of us would say yes. I hope you're not in your seat saying, "No, I've never had a good pastor. I've never had anybody care for me. And I'm here at SPC. Oh, I'm one of those hurt people who hurt people." You know? I don't think any of you came here to hurt people, right? God's put people in your life that have been a great blessing to you, great leaders. And God led Israel by establishing David as the king over a renewed, perpetual kingdom. So we see in 2 Samuel 1 to 10, it's very positive. Very, very positive. We see his faith and God blessing his faith. You know, we see him ruling over Hebron, the first 7 years of his reign in Judah. And then God establishes reign over all Israel. In a sense, it's a little bit like Ruth, isn't it? Where God truly honors those who honor him. He says, "Oh, how the mighty have fallen." That was his lament after Saul died. I mean, in some ways, I kind of look at David. I'm like, "David, this is a guy that tried to kill you for, what was it, 14 years, 17 years? You were out in the wilderness. Haven't you read 1 Samuel, David? Have you forgotten?" He hasn't forgotten. He knows Saul was after him. But David has this sense of propriety. David has this sense of, this guy is the one the Lord anointed. In that sense, he was God's choice, Saul. And I'm going to respect God's choice. And I would say, for us, if we are always constantly fighting against who the Lord puts over us as authority figures, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in ministry. You really should learn from everyone. And me too. You can learn from anyone. You can learn what to do from your good leaders. You can learn what not to do from your bad leaders. But learn what not to do without having a bitter spirit. You know? So he actually curses Mount Gilboa, where Saul dies. And you know, he says, may no dew or rain fall upon you, or producing offerings of grain. It's interesting. Mount Boa was bald like this for generations, literally for thousands of years. Now you see some trees up here now at Mount Gilboa. Israel has piped in water there. And they've made the top of it more fruitful. This is called Saul's shoulder up here. Modern foresting added green to this side of the mountain. But up to recently, it has had no vegetation, as we see here. So David responds honorably. He doesn't kill off all of Saul's family. He doesn't kill all those... He doesn't protect the kingdom. Like, oh, I got to really protect this kingdom God gave me. He's actually willing to give it up, give it over. This is a great model for you and me. I'm speaking to myself as I say this. Any one of you want to be the professor and teach this class, I need to be able, really willing to say, yes, please, let me help build you up to the point where you can do this, take my position, you know? I've said this many times at the church. Any of you want to be pastor? You know, please come. I'm happy to give it up, you know? And I think when we have that attitude, when we hold things loosely, I think God blesses. And we see a new capital, Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 5. A new worship center because the ark has moved there. A new dynasty, David's dynasty, not Saul's dynasty, chapter 7. A new boundary, because the kingdom just expands. David even gets a new son, Mephibosheth. Jonathan's son basically becomes like David's son. And we have new vassals. The Ammonites and the Syrians end up becoming vassals to David. So that's the quickie for chapters 5 to 10. What happens after that? Well, things become a little difficult. When you get to 2 Samuel 11, at the time when the kings go out to war, I don't know about you, but in U.S. law, chapter 11 means bankruptcy. And so chapter 11 in 2 Samuel also refers to the bankruptcy of David. An idle mind leads to an idle mind. I-D-L-E leads to I-D-O-L. And it comes from a woman named Bathsheba. I'm not going to blame Bathsheba. You have to blame David for this. And not only does he commit immorality with her, but he kills her husband. And then God takes the baby that they had. I mean, the heartache that Bathsheba went through is just incredible. And so God rebukes him. You are the man. Through Nathan. And Bathsheba's baby dies. But we find that God gives David an awful lot of heartache. The two main sins that David has committed, immorality and murder, happens in his own family. Immorality with Michal, over and over, Tamar, Ammon, immorality. There's all kinds of troubles in his family. The son of adultery dies, and yet God gives him another son through Bathsheba named Solomon. So you see the Lord showing his grace even through Bathsheba and all the heartache she went through. Actually be the one who is the woman in the messianic line that's mentioned in Matthew 1. All right? That's the big picture of all this. He has family troubles, but he also has political troubles. His own son, Absalom, wants to take the kingdom from him. Once that's solved, Sheba tries to rebel against him. And then we'll see when we get to 1 Kings, Adonijah also seeks to take the kingdom away from David. His concern is not to hold on to the kingdom. His concern is to hold on to the Lord. And if God wants to take the kingdom from him, that's God's deal. So we finally get to the final years of chapters 21 to the end, which is really like an appendix. And David's humility is honorable in these chapters, but it actually ends with because he's got all his mighty men that are mentioned here and all these wonderful things, accomplishments of David. But even in the last chapter, the threshing floor of Araunah, at the top of the hill, he ends up buying that because he wants to use that to build a temple for the Lord. That place ends up becoming the place that we'll see is the place where Solomon actually builds the temple. And I think the message is God also shows his kindness to us in his discipline. He just keeps coming after us. And we know that David pictures Jesus, because to go from David, I mean, so many similarities with David and Jesus, of the line of Judah, both from Bethlehem, humble roots, like a shepherd and carpenter, protect from evil and have courage with the heart of a shepherd. There's so many similarities between David and Jesus, appointed to rule without Israel seeking it, both exalted and actually to rule the whole world. Both start in Bethlehem, but they're going to end in Jerusalem. it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal picture. So God's kindness gives us leaders, but God's kindness also gives us discipline. Those are my two key ideas in terms of the answer to this question. How does God model kindness to us? Ultimately, he models kindness in us through David's descendant, Jesus. And he's going to rule the world through David's descendant, Jesus. But he does it even right now by giving us leaders that we can learn from, whether good or bad, and by giving us, showing us his kindness through his discipline. So how do you respond? Trust Jesus, which you have done. But I would also say the kindness that God has shown to you, show that kindness to others. Sounds a little bit like the book of Ruth, doesn't it? There's no exercise better for the heart than reaching down and lifting other people up, John Holmes said. And God wants us to do that, to be people who are kind. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you.